This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Pitch Talk with Olivia Cox and Rachel Daly.
Well, hello, good afternoon. How are we? I'm Rachel Downey, Olivia Cox.
Hello. I don't know why we've been doing this for a little while, but that always makes me jump when the theme tune comes on.
Do you know what? We've been sitting in the studio for about half an hour, just chilling, chatting. All of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, we're doing the show.
I know, it's a lot of rush.
Panic!
And a lot of noticing that somehow I missed the memo that producer Abby and Rachel are both wearing the exact same shade of mauve, which I have to say is a very niche shade.
Get with it, babe.
Shade.
It's also a new shave.
Okay, it's going well. Let's start with the sports headlines today. So, first of all, boxing. After vowing to cut the trash talk ahead of Saturday's match, Hayes has suffered jeers at a press conference whilst being slammed by Bellew as wounded and desperate. Ooh. Is he staying too long at the party? Has he had his moment? Does he need to bow out gracefully rather than dragging it out for us all?
Oh, do you know what? I am looking forward to this. Did you see the fight between Bellew and Hayes quite a few months back?
I want to say yes, but no, I did not.
I do love a good boxing match. Fight, I should say. Hayes suffered such a nasty injury. You could see his Achilles.
Yes.
And
it literally
looked like his foot was hanging off. But he carried on. And it was quite gruesome. It was like watching a wounded fox in a fight. I don't know if people do that.
But he embarrassingly stubbed his toe or something in a previous match? I feel like I've been listening to a real hater. A hater of Hayes. But he'd really marketed himself as the one to really rile against.
Yeah.
And then he stubbed his toe and had to pull out or something. And then, yes, tore his Achilles tendon in the match, which,
yes,
all credit to him to continue going on.
It was amazing.
On.
Shows you the...
Incredible.
The fighter that he is and the professional that he is. I think it will be a very good fight. I mean, Bellew has been very calm. He said he's not going to do any trash talk. The press conference was earlier on. Bellew is basically saying, could you put a bet on me to win? It's like, oh, I like that confidence.
That's punchy.
Yeah, it's punchy. And he did, you know, and Hayes was very respectful, saying, you know, that Bellew did fight, obviously, bought his best game. It'll be very good.
I don't know. I'd like to see Hayes win. I almost feel like that's a bit of trash talk. He brought his best game.
Yeah.
Sadly, not enough.
Teeny tiny Bellew playing fighting. That's what it's a bit like.
I love a good bit of trash talk. It's so slightly witty, but so nasty.
I know. You're like, oh, that's good. I wish I could use that.
Really appeals to the bitch inside me. Oh, I'm glad we can swear on FUBAR Radio.
Too.
Okay, in rugby, England flanker James Haskell has claimed that rugby is becoming a pretty pathetic sport after he was penalised for a high tackle after coming off the bench for his final home game for Wasps. Now, this stinks a little of a little bit of upset that he's leaving, perhaps, trying to gloss it over. He hasn't had a great season. He was coming back off the bench, so he hadn't been picked for the first squad. I don't know. I feel like he shouldn't have made those comments. I feel like it's a bit...
It's like playground tactics, isn't it? Yeah, and after the years... After the career rugby has given him and he has given rugby, it's really not the respectful thing to do.
It's a shame, and especially considering that he's 33 years old and he has in fact failed to agree a new contract at the end of this season. It just seems like he's trying to throw his toys out the pram. And
yes, I think
it's
he's
a bit
very
like
much
making
like
a point,
anyway.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I know you are, but what am I?
Oh, I like that. I think I used to be like that. Yeah, I know you are, but what am I?
I definitely
Rachel,
was
be
like
quiet.
That.
I know I am, but what am I?
No, you're a towel.
I know I am, but what? Yeah.
In other rugby news, the Wallabies, Nick Phillips has urinated. This is why I can't get it out of my mouth. Has urinated after a home loss to the Lions in Australia.
Can we not add any more to what you've just said? I haven't sold that story very well.
It was at a bar and he was dressed
don't
up.
Don't add any more. I'd like him to finish and just weep himself.
He was dressed up as a cow and it's brought a really nasty feeling into this loss because it's, I don't know if he's trying to make a point and say that the Lions were no good or if he simply isn't able to control himself. But he has actually branded himself a bloody idiot and a goose. Not sure where the goose comes from.
Such a goose. There you go. How you say that?
He has apologised. And the fact that it occurred literally a day after he played Super Rugby, home loss to the Lions, 29-0.
If this was a footballer, you in the press, it'd be typical footballer.
Hang on, if it was a footballer, if it was a footballer in the press, he would not have been dressed in a cow suit.
That's a good point. He doesn't need to be in a cow suit.
It's completely unnecessary. In good rugby news, however, there are rumours of women's Premier Rugby being staged as doubleheaders with men's to raise the profile of female teams. So this will be things like the London doubleheader, which is traditionally Wasps, Saracens, London Irish. Is it Harlequins? Yeah. I suppose it depends who's doing well at the time. But throwing in a female team into the mix is great, because one of the problems I think we have with female sport is that we're trying to isolate it and say, female sport is great, let's get all the females to watch the female sport and blah, 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 female sport. Actually, it's all sport. It's one sport.
The difficulty is it all comes down to the revenue, which is why things like women's football doesn't have the same TV exposure, even though it's growing, which has taken a long, long time. It doesn't bring in the same revenue value that the Premier League men's football does. Of course it doesn't, but this is a brilliant way of doing it, because obviously rugby, men's rugby, has that revenue, fan base.
Well, yeah, and it's sort of like if you look at something like Formula One and you get the Porsche Carrera Cup or the Super Cup just before as a feeder race, and that eventually does build enough excitement so that it has its own following in its own right. The problem I think that you might find is that at the beginning of these matches, these double headers, or the end, where whenever it is that the slight underdog teams are playing, you might see a smaller crowd.
Yes.
And that would be disheartening. But we've got to start somewhere.
We have to start somewhere. It's the only way to make a difference. And I think we had that, I think a little while ago, we read women's cricket. You know, it's on the up, but it doesn't have the viewership. And you there's got to come a time where they take that risk and take that chance and begin to build that viewership.
Well, chicken and egg.
Well, bugger you.
Or cow pissing in a bar. In the Formula One, Christian Horner...
You can do it, babe. I'm right there
Christian
with you.
Horner's right there with fuming you. Yet diplomatic response to the Azerbaijan GP incident. Now, this is Ricciardo and Verstappen, who came at loggerheads after brushing. I think they said that they kissed their tyres once or twice. I don't think it was a kiss. I think it was more of a punch or a stab in the back. Is it time to pick a favourite between the two Red Bull drivers?
Ricciardo will not stay next season. That's one thing that this what's going to happen out of this. He doesn't need to stay. Max Verstappen needs to calm down. He's too...
Do you think Red Bull will keep Verstappen, though?
Yeah, of course, because he's a star of the future, but he needs to calm down. But they will lose Ricciardo, and they've both got to apologise to their team, haven't they?
I think they already have, actually. Quite a few comments on Twitter. I mean, they were quite staged apologies, and they were very obviously already media vetted.
Yeah, they don't mean it, but they've got to apologise to all the mechanics and everything, everyone that is.
Well, quite, because as we've said before,
they've got to apologise
to me, the viewer. No, it was a really exciting race, but the problem is that these drivers are representing an entire team, and what you don't see is what goes on behind the scenes. All the people that get them there, all the mechanics, all the engineers. Yeah, definitely an apology was absolutely necessary.
Yeah, totally agree. And yeah, Ricciardo will leave. I think Hamilton will go... Ricciardo will probably then go to Mercedes. And I think if Mercedes don't tie down Hamilton soon, he will move.
I can't see Ricciardo and Hamilton on the same team.
That'd be amazing. But I was going to... In my head, Hamilton was moving to another team. But imagine them two on the same team. Oh, that's good. This is me putting them together.
I wish everyone could see. Well, perhaps they can. Perhaps we will release this on Twitter. Rachel's really nice little diagram above
her
head.
Thanks, babe.
Football, which, of course, Rachel will have a lot on. Liverpool's Mo Salah is to face no FA action after an apparent arm to Stoke's Bruno Martin. Now, is this right or wrong? Is his golden boy reputation actually getting in the way of the rules? Do we think that the same treatment would be given to a less popular player?
Yes. Basically, I think Mo Salah is... I don't think they are making a show of him. Basically, referee Andre Marina, he didn't see the incident during the game at Anfield. And so then it was later referred to an independent three-man panel. Salah came under pressure from the Stoke defender on the touchline and appeared to flick out an arm at the Dutchman after releasing the ball, but the panel did not believe it was an act of violent conduct, meaning Salah will be eligible to play in Liverpool's upcoming clash with Chelsea on Sunday. So therefore, if they've not, you know, even if an independent panel have looked at this and said nothing happened, there we go then. You know, I think sometimes we do like to pull down someone when they're doing very, very well. Salah, who's been named Football Writers Association Footballer of the Year as well.
Yes, which of course has to go to a player with high standards of professionalism on and off the pitch. I just wonder if we're looking a little bit through rose-tinted spectacles at Mo Salah because of the epic season that he's had. Is having.
Yeah.
We'll carry on having.
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, let's bear in mind, he is having an amazing season. But this is only like the second half of the season that we're really giving him this, congratulations. You know, he's scored 31 goals in 34 league appearances for Liverpool this year. He's the first African winner of the award of the Football Writers Association. He's also won the PFA Player of the Year award as well. He scored 43 goals in all competitions. And do you know what? Liverpool, only signed him for Roma in the summer for £34 million. One of the best signings, I think, in football for a long, long time.
Let's just put this in a bit of perspective, just in case anyone listening, like me, isn't completely au fait with transfer seasons. Mm-hmm. £34 million, mm-hmm. What kind of player would that normally get you?
Not someone that would go on and win this accolade like he has. It would be someone who would probably go on and play for maybe a club in 5th, 6th on the table, maybe a little bit higher, but, you know, not where Liverpool are right now, Champions League semi-finals, not someone that would go on and score, was it 34 goals I said?
It was.
Not that at all. Like, he is worth, well, double that more. If you think of like the most expensive players we've got at the moment, and he's just going to keep on and keep on. He's an exciting player to watch, and he'll stay with Liverpool for a while as well, because Liverpool are just
doing
incredible.
He also seems, to me, quite humble. I quite like the way, him playing against Roma, he really took it in his stride. I mean, what was it? Did he have three goals?
Yeah,
did he have two? Was it a hat-trick?
I think it was two. No, it was two goals.
Two goals, and there was none of that over-exuberant celebrations. There was no awful hand gestures at the TV cameras or anything. It was just, it was like a man who loves to play football, playing football.
And everyone, very well said, because I completely agree.
Thank you, mate.
That's all right, my darling. And everyone, if you look at the way other players respond to him, everyone seems to really like him, and they seem to, he's doing great things for the Premier League at the moment, and he's someone very exciting to watch in the Premier League, for sure. And I know it's football time, isn't it?
It is.
It's football time.
Rachel literally sits here with ants in her pants until I hand over the headlines.
I don't know where the saying ants in your pants came from, just putting that out.
I don't know.
There.
If anyone knows, do tweet us.
Yeah.
At Fubar Radio.
But no pictures, all right?
Oh, God,
this isn't an actual thing. I'm not opening floodgates here. Okay, good. I'm glad we sorted that out. Spurs beat Watford last night 2-0. Mauricio Pochettino has said that Harry Kane will be back to his best for the World Cup. England striker scored only his third goal since February as Spurs finally came through and won yesterday.
That look of bliss on Rachel Downey's face. Finally.
We want a top four finish. That's great. Obviously, we're not going to get any silverware because we didn't go and win in the FA Cup against Man U the other Saturday. And Kane hasn't been performing up to scratch after he is injured. I think he's still borderline injured, even though he can play. So he needs to start back scoring those goals again. This is, it's good. Well done, Spurs. I'm annoyed with you for not winning any silverware. I'm not going to take it too personal, but come on, it's getting on my nerves now. And also, Jurgen Klopp will be missing the man he calls the brain as he bids to mastermind a stunning Champions League success with Liverpool. The Liverpool boss has been rocked by the shock exit of his longtime number two, Zeljko Bavac, ahead of his side's crunch second leg with Roma. Some people are saying, you know, I didn't take this as that much of a huge thing because Liverpool are doing so well at the moment. But this is very, very big for
Liverpool.
Hadn't
he been there something like 22 years?
Yeah, this is huge for Liverpool. Well, it really is.
Has there been any sort of
Jurgen Klopp
explanation?
Not yet, no. With Jurgen Klopp, he's worked alongside him. Only time will tell what really will effect this will have on Liverpool. Well, we'll see at the game tomorrow night. I don't think much effect. I mean, we've got Chamberlain's out now as well. He's injured, Oxlade-Chamberlain. But I don't it shouldn't make that much of a difference. But again, I don't know how much of an impact losing your number two, the brains behind it. I mean, you always assume Jurgen Klopp is the brains behind the success. So,
well, I would have thought that a professional and well-trained team would have their plays well enough in their heads that they should be able to tide it over. But a shock departure does leave a lot of questions as to what was going on behind the scenes before this was announced to us all. How long did they know?
He says it's personal reasons. But again, and also it just depends. You know, if this affects Klopp, Jurgen Klopp, it will affect the rest of the team. I don't think it will. I don't know. Maybe they're just... Basically, Olivia, I don't know what difference it's going to make. But there we go. That's there's your footy news. We'll keep you up to date with any breaking stories. I'm putting all my scrappings everywhere. We have mentioned about yesterday's game between Spurs and Watford. And we've got Mauricio Pochettino talking about the game last night.
Mauricio, relief to get back to winning ways after the last few results here?
Yes, happy because I think the most important was to take the 3 points, to get the 3 points, and that for us was massive. It was a game that we need to win, and then we won the game, and I am happy for that. And of course, maybe the performance wasn't great, but the most important on the end is the 3 points.
You brought him back into the starting lineup, Hugo Lloris, some cracking saves in the first half. How important was they in securing the victory?
I think in few actions he showed that he's one of the best keepers in the world. No doubt about that. He was great. And of course, fantastic because the 3 points put us in a very good position, fighting for the top four. That is our objective to the end of the season.
You mentioned the fight for the top four. You're 1 point behind Liverpool with a game in hand. Are you looking up to secure third? Is it just all about getting in that fourth no matter what?
I think the fantastic thing is to finish on the top four and to be sure to play Champions League next season. That is the most important thing. That will be massive for the club. And we are focused on trying to win the game that we have ahead now. The next game is West Bromwich Saturday. We need to be ready to compete.
Another goal for Harry Kane. He's not giving up on that golden boot, is he, chasing down Mo Salah?
Yes, of course, but for him it's important to score goals. I think 150 games, 105 goals talk for him very well how he is. Of course, he's chasing, but I think the most important him is score goal to help the team.
There's been a bit of negative criticism to him in the last 2 weeks. Does that affect him at all, do you think?
To who?
To Harry. With a joke?
I think a lot of people can say that maybe he was affected a little bit. But of course, but it's normal. It's normal. He's human. We are human, and always you can be affected. But with the help, with all the people around him, trying to push him, to lift him, I think now he's much better. And of course, he's working hard to try to recover his real performance.
There we go, that was Mauricio Pochettino chatting there in the presser after Spurs beat Watford 2-0 at Wembley last night. Now, Olivia and I I'm a bit flustered.
I feel a bit shell-shocked because we were ushered out of the studio into the
very
green room
quickly.
A photo with two of the coolest people I've ever seen in my life.
Hey,
dressed head to toe in their team colours, waving basketballs in the air. Turns out one of them is 6'8".
Yeah.
It's very tall. Yeah. Hoops over there. Yes. We've got Zeus and Hoops of the Harlem Globetrotters in the studio. Wait, woo! I've got applause. Hang on.
Yay.
Oh my God,
I want to thank my mum.
My daddy.
So that must be a sound that you are very, very used to, having been on tour with the Globetrotters.
Applause.
Just to clarify.
Everywhere that we go, yeah. I mean, the Globetrotters have been around for the last 93 years now, yeah. Putting smiles on people's faces everywhere that we go. We've been to 123 countries and provinces around the world, and yeah, we're used to it.
Yeah, you get it. Do you know what? My first probably introduction with the Harlem Globetrotters was a cartoon from back in the day that was over here shown in England.
What was it?
Scooby-Doo? The Scooby-Doo show?
No, it was the actual Globetrotters.
They had their own.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, hang on. What's the link to Scooby-Doo?
We actually did one episode with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm even more starstruck. I have such a girl crush on the girls in Scooby-Doo. I think they're absolutely awesome. Obviously, the boys are great too.
Oh, yeah. The main character, the dog.
What, Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Big old Scoobs.
Well, look, Hoops, I want to start with you. You're the 15th woman.
I am.
To join Harlem Globetrotters. And you joined in 2017. Mm-hmm. So when did you start playing basketball? Is this something you've always done from a very little age?
Yes. When I was about 4 years old, I picked up a basketball and I fell in love with it. I've enjoyed it ever since. I've played professionally. I've played in college in Texas. I played in Spain, Czech Republic, and Mexico. And now I get to play all over the world.
And how did the introduction to Globetrotters happen for you? Do you have to do trials? Were you kind of, you know, were you spotted to then go forward and join?
So with me, I posted a video of me dribbling on Facebook. Everybody was tagging the Globetrotters and saying how I should try out for the team. So I got linked up with a recruiter, and he liked what he saw. He invited me to the tryout, and here I am, 15th woman, represent.
Did you think that
girl power girl
like
power.
Did you think that would be a possibility though when you posted that video, or was that not your intention?
That was not my intention at all.
I was
doing it for fun, and you know, it just worked out. Things work out how they work out.
And what's it like working with? Well.
The shy one
in the corner who is flinging a basketball.
I'm stuck with this guy all the time. No, he's great. You know, he's been around for a couple of years now. He's like a big brother to me, bodyguard.
Very big, a grown man. 6 foot
all
eight.
That good stuff. He's helped me, you know, how to be a Globetrotter on and off the court.
So you guys are obviously in a huge position of having to entertain but also be professional sports people. How do you stay ahead of your schedule? How do you stay in shape?
Oh, man, it's tough. We're playing 320 games this year in 260 cities. A lot of practice goes into it, and we have a great training staff that travels on the road with us. So what we'll do is before every game, we'll get to the arena like 2 hours before. That's when we go through a pretty rigorous practice, and you know, we'll work out a little bit as well. And you got to try to eat right as well, which is not always easy. With like fish and chips around the corner, you know.
Oh, well done. Yeah. You're an honorary Brit. Well done.
We'll even go up into the stands sometimes. We'll eat people's food and cotton candy and popcorn. We get hungry during the game. You know what happens. But we try to stay on top of it.
Yeah. So when you say that you go to the stadiums a couple of hours before, is every stadium different?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's why we have to go early, because we think of different trick shots that we can do. Yeah. Like sometimes we shoot from half court. Sometimes we shoot from the stands themselves, and we got to throw up a couple of practice shots.
I'm just in awe. You know, personally, so my dad likes to play basketball with me when we go to Yorkshire, and we just shoot it into the hoop. I, for the life of me, can very, very, very rarely, I mean, it's fluke if my ball goes in. And I do not know if there's anything that I can do to get it better. How do you tell someone how to play basketball?
Oh, man. Some people got it and some people don't.
Yeah. Listen,
either
don't tell me that.
You're not. You're not a natural, Olivia.
But is that... Is that what you said to President Obama?
Oh, no. President Obama got a great jump shot.
He's
a lefty,
he's
too,
a natural.
Right?
A lefty.
He's a natural.
Is that a thing? A lefty or a righty in basketball?
Yes, it's very important, too, if you're a lefty or righty.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah, typically everybody's a right-handed person.
Right-handed.
And lefty is like being a gifted athlete, you know, because everybody else is expecting you to go right. If you can go left, James Harden is in the NBA, and he's one of the better dribblers in the world.
So Obama, in another life, could have been
NBA,
part
yeah.
of the Harlem
Globetrotter player.
Can you imagine?
Well, we as Pitch Talk went down to see the NBA game in London back in, was that this year? It was several months ago, certainly.
Yeah,
And one of the things that really struck us was the huge entourage that basketball comes with to the UK, because here, basketball is a great sport, but it doesn't have that crowd pull.
Yeah.
Have you found it different in the UK performing as opposed to somewhere like America?
I feel like in the UK, you guys watch the game a little more. More intently.
We're a little bit more serious.
We are a little bit more serious and quiet.
What just happened? And then, you know, but at a Globetrotter game, that's the cool thing. You don't have to be a basketball fan to have a good time at our game. You'll look out in the stands and see somebody who's 10 years old, somebody who's 30, somebody who's in their 70s, and everybody has a huge smile on their face because we're not just playing basketball, we're having fun with it.
We've got to go down and see one of the.
We will definitely go down and
we've
see.
Got the so list of the dates here as well.
You're in England for a little bit of the foreseeable future. It looks like until the 28th of May.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And traveling around. We should go to London O2. We'll leave the dates and we'll put them up online. Yeah, Brighton, Birmingham. You've got. You're going to London, the SSE Arena, Wembley. I'm actually going to end up reading them all out very quickly. Cardiff, Leeds, Newcastle, Glasgow, Liverpool, Manchester, Bournemouth, and then you end London O2. That's when we should go to that one.
He's actually leaning in as if this is all news to him. It's like,
been to Liverpool. A little bit about you, actually. So you were cut from every basketball team you tried out for, from the 7th grade through to the 10th grade. You're like, yeah, a bit. So but it says here you kept on pushing and you finally made your high school team. Mm-hmm. Why did you keep pushing?
So we're bringing up the past. That's what we're doing today.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it up, destroy you, but then lift you again at the end of it.
So it wasn't fun going through it at the time, but, you know, if I would have known that at the end of that I was going to get paid to travel the world and be myself, you know, it would have been a lot more enjoyable. But.
Yeah.
So finally made my first team in the 10th grade, and it came on the heels of a 5-inch growth spurt. So I drank a lot of milk that summer, ended up growing, and I stuck with it. A lot of my coaches, though, when I was younger, they would all tell me the same thing. They said I smiled too much, and in order to be good in basketball, they say you got to have this killer instinct, you know, and this demonstrative
demeanor.
So actually,
you've taken what was a negative and gone, haha, screw you.
Yeah.
Like because that's kind of what the Globetrotters is all about.
They pay me to smile, so it ended up working out for me.
And worked out really well because you are a Guinness World Record holder.
Yes, I am a 2-time World Record holder. I have the most bounced 3-pointers in 1 minute and the most slam dunks in 1 minute. I beat your previous record of 15 and I got 16.
Damn.
Sorry, Libby.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Again, was this something you went out to do for the Guinness Book of Records? We still call it, don't we, the Guinness World Records?
Yeah, they reach out to us every now and then.
Okay.
They had a record of the most slam dunks, and I'm one of the main dunkers on the team. They call me Zeus because my thunderous dunks, so they gave me that nickname.
Oh, and, that's so cool.
I love that.
Yeah, you got to earn your
calls
name.
Me that.
Hang on. So where does hoops come
here
from?
Here you go.
Oh, I didn't get it. Yes, you get them.
Yeah.
But just because I've always been a hooper, I've always been ready to hoop.
Hang on. What is a hooper? Is that someone who can get the ball in the hoop?
Yes.
And do it properly. Yes.
I mean, not me.
I like that. And do it properly.
Proper hooper.
Do it with skill.
And
what's to do it properly? Does that mean not hitting it off the board
that
or
means
not
you
hitting
make
the hoop?
You make all your shots. You got the swag, the ball handling. Yeah.
Some people can hoop and some people can't. Yeah. She can hoop.
Can you hoop?
I can definitely hoop.
And you can duck. So
I feel we need like a hoop off, but not really the place.
I know, it's such a shame. If we thought it through, we could have brought some sort of hoop in here.
Yeah, well, really could.
If you want to see some amazing things, like me and Hoops, we do trick shots and we go all over the world doing some crazy stuff. Along with tickets for the game, you can go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com, grab tickets for the game, and you can buy Magic Pass tickets. And that's where you get a chance to get up close and personal with your favorite Harlem Globetrotter, Zeus and Hoops. And we'll sign autographs. Take pictures and teach you how to spin the ball on your finger. You want to learn?
Yeah.
All right, hold your right finger
in
here.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Here we go. Right there.
Yeah.
Do
scared.
Not move.
Okay, for everyone who can't see this, we are. Oh, my God. I'm about to spin a. Oh, my God. A Globetrotter ball.
Same reaction.
I know, I really had to try and rein it in, but I didn't rein it in quite quickly enough. But that was next level exciting.
Oh my God,
so hang
I'm
on.
Blushing.
Essentially, what Zeus just did for me was get my ball started, get it spinning, and then stick it on my
it's
finger.
Like a plate
you
on
did
top
the rest.
Of her.
Did I?
Yeah, you're nice.
Thanks.
That's
lucky
cute.
I haven't got a manicure.
Over here.
Oh my God.
Can we
so
be
fun.
Honorary Globetrotters?
Yeah.
Well, why not?
We're
Come
definitely
on.
Coming down
yeah, why
to
not?
One of the. Yeah, definitely.
We
like I said,
absolutely
London
will. And it's just such an exciting time for the Globetrotters because, of course, you are coming up to a 100-year anniversary and you've got so many world records along the way. Is there anything new that you want to try? Is there any insight you can give us into the next, what's coming next?
Well, we're innovators of the game of basketball. We invented the slam dunk, the alley-oop, the
three-man.
Hang
on, you invented the slam dunk?
We invented it. Like, that's the reason that it's around right now. The Globetrotters made it popular.
The history of the Globetrotters. It's just... Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome.
Way back.
To be part of the Globetrotters, I mean, are you guys, do you still pinch yourselves or do you take it for granted now that you guys
Is
are representing? Oh my. It's a good old pinch. Go on.
It's an amazing brand. It's such an iconic brand. When people see us out in the streets, they'll think of the first time they saw a Globetrotter or their Globetrotter game. it immediately puts a smile on their face, and they'll tell us a different story about the first time their parents or grandparents took them to a Globetrotter game, and it immediately brings smiles, and that's what makes it fun and cool to be a part of.
Who did you, I know they're loving it, who inspired you, what basketball player inspired you growing up?
Besides Zeus?
Yeah.
Not that old.
Actually, my favorite players growing up were Allen Iverson and Kobe Bryant.
Good choice. How about you, Zeus?
So I looked up to my older brother, Robert McClurkin. He was like a point guard. And his favorite player was Jason Kidd. So I guess vicariously through my older brother, it was Jason Kidd.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about what you've done recently, because I know it's something involved the Pope. And something
it's
involved,
like a joke.
Something
an
involved
Irishman,
New York Fashion Week.
Oh yeah, man, we're all over the place. We try to stay on top of popular
so
culture
busy.
And things. So we got a chance to meet the Pope, and we spun the ball on his finger. And
Hang on.
He scream like us?
No, but before we did, he's like, "It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work."
I mean, that is exactly what was going through my head in a beautiful
finger,
Italian
like,
accent too.
He had these like his fingers like stubby. We tried to put it on there.
Are you allowed to say that?
As soon as we put it on.
He
was like, "Nah, I told you it wasn't going to work." But we got the picture, but it worked out.
Did you do it to Obama?
No, we didn't get a chance to do it with President Obama.
What are President Obama's fingers like?
What
a question!
I wasn't staring at his fingers that close.
Yeah. I feel like they would be long, skinny.
They probably look like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I'm thinking long, skinny.
Long and skinny. Obama.
Good basketball hands.
Yeah. Definitely.
Especially the left one.
Definitely.
Yes. Lefty.
That's amazing. And so, for the people wanting to start out, women, men in basketball, what tips would you give them?
I would just say in anything in life, if you're passionate about it, understand that you got to invest in a lot of time, invest in a lot of hours, and know that you're more than capable of achieving those dreams.
I'm filming you, Zeus.
While Zeus entertains.
Go on, entertain.
Entertain, entertain, entertain.
You supposed to be answering the question.
I did answer the question.
Oh. So how about you, Zeus? What tips would you give? Because it says, we've got here, it says.
Be coachable.
Yes. Be the player the coach doesn't have to worry about.
Right. So I played a lot of minutes over guys who were probably better basketball players than me, but because I was coachable and I listened to the coach's plan and his philosophy, he would trust me and I would play over those guys. And I would tell people, not just in sports, be coachable, but be coachable in life. Listen to your parents, listen to your teachers, adults, listen to your bosses, anybody who has any kind of
I really
of
love how he
you.
Looked at me as he said, listen to adults.
Yeah. Where are the adults?
Today I feel like I'm adulting really well.
Yeah, we're doing very well. At this today, very well. No one's realised.
Just be coachable. You guys are coachable.
So coachable.
Mm. Well, thank you. I managed to spin a ball, so I feel like I'm quite coachable.
Mm. I feel like we could try out for the Globetrotters now.
Right? I don't want to go quite that far.
Well, I'm going to be trying out spinning balls on my fingers. I don't know.
Okay, I think we do need to wrap this up fairly soon, which is very, very sad. One last thing I want to know. How do you figure out that you're good at something like this? Being able to shoot blindfold, being able to shoot from the wrong end of the pitch. Do you wake up one day and suddenly go, I know?
You just kind of go for it. I mean, when I was younger, I wasn't very good in basketball, so I'd be on the sideline just spinning the ball on my finger.
So it's practice.
Yeah, just practice.
So it's a little bit of boredom, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, people were looking at me like I was crazy, but, I wasn't good enough to get on the court.
Oh, we're still doing that,
no. Crazy good looking. So it ended up working out for me, though. It's just kind of blind luck, like you said.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, how about yourself? What was it, that moment that made you pick a ball up? Do you have... It sounds quite, not sexist, but you have brothers that were playing?
Mm-hmm. No, my older brother, he was the reason why I picked up the basketball. And, I just ran with it. I always enjoyed having a ball in my hand. I would walk with the ball. I would have the ball in my backpack. Yeah. I would have the ball in my bed. It was always with me. And I was always trying new things with it, just even if I messed up. Mm. I know I mess up a lot, but... It got me to where I am today.
Yeah. And you're doing incredible at it. Oh, he almost dropped the ball.
On which note, Zeus very nearly dropped the ball. So it's time for us to just very, very quickly, can you plug your tour for us?
Yes,
where are
you guys will have 11 chances to meet us. The Harlem Globetrotters. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com. We're playing all throughout the UK. We can't wait to see you guys at one of our games.
Oh, yeah. My God, he's done our job for us.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah.
I love this.
You can stay to the next half an hour.
And I love your accent. I could just stay and listen to you forever.
Thank you
so much, Globetrotters, Hoops and Zeus, for coming in. let's go shoot hoops.
Let's, oh, I like it. It makes you sound really cool as well, Olivia. Thanks, we're going to stick to that. We're going to be playing an a cappella remix of the legendary theme song, Sweet George Brown, featuring Mike Tompkins. We'll be back in a few moments.
This is a very true story about my dad.
My God, this is the best. This is the best press release I've ever read. I was like, so your dad named you Chelsea Blues because he's a big Chelsea fan.
Yeah, our last name actually is Blues. The whole family.
So he knew there was an opportunity here.
Yes, but they expected me to be a boy. Do you know what they were going to call me if I was a boy?
Manchester Rhythm, United.
Nope. Rhythm Nathaniel Blues R&B.
I know.
I know. I wish I was a boy.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Do you know what? I was just saying then, it just makes you feel cool.
It made me feel short.
Oh, yeah.
But also, tiny. Yeah, pocket very, bucket. Very cool, slightly inadequate. But we've got someone absolutely even shorter.
Pint size.
Yeah. Pint size, pocket rocket, Alice Living. Living. We've just been through this.
You literally just
asked me how to say it.
Makes you alive. Makes you feel alive. I can't remember what you said, but it's true. We're living.
Living as in being alive.
Welcome to the show, Alice.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
It's all a bit flustering.
Last time Olivia and I saw each other, well, last proper time, we were covered in mud head to toe.
So Alice and I actually met at the Tough Mudder, which Rachel and I then did a smaller version of.
We did, I think, a
5K version. Alice and I did, was it, 11
did the full
miles?
12 miles, thank 12 you very miles. Much.
Did you?
Yeah. And I have to say, if ever there was a bonding experience, it's being dragged through mud and approaching an obstacle with a lot of gusto, making it up to the top, having a selfie, and then going back down.
Yep, love it.
I like that there was a selfie involved.
Always.
Make but
yeah,
proud.
It was a real humbling experience.
It was very humbling. Alice, you are a personal trainer, best-selling author of 3 books.
You've
got an activewear line with Primark, Women's Health columnist, Times 2 cover girl. You've got a new app.
So
when
depressing.
Do you sleep?
Well, sleep is very important, Olivia, as I have you know. No, I find time. It's been busy. Like, I started Instagram as like a kind of my like healthy journey. This is what I'm going to do. And within the space of a year, it just blown up and gone massive. And my life has just been one big roller coaster ever since.
Because, of course, you used to brand yourself as Clean Living Alice.
Clean Eating Alice,
Clean Eating Alice.
Yeah,
and then you had a bit of a switch. And now it's sort of a little bit more all-encompassing.
Yeah, so I was originally just like it was like a food diary for me, so I take a picture of everything that I was eating every day as a way more of just keeping motivation and like documenting what I was doing every day, never expecting that anyone else would really be interested in what I was having for dinner, but just so happened that they seemed to be quite keen to know what I was eating. And then after a couple of years of, and I published my books under the name Clean Eating Alice, but there was loads of problems with the fact that I didn't feel like I aligned with what the clean eating movement came to mean, and I was like, I'm not really part of that. I don't really cut anything out.
Well, there's been a bit of a backlash against the whole clean eating thing because an awful lot of high profile people or personal trainers or people in positions to really get a lot of respect and for people to follow them, and they were saying, you must cut out these food groups, this is the enemy, that is the enemy.
Yeah.
And something that Alice has always championed is moderation.
Yeah. And also, like, I will never and have never demonized any food group, and I don't really believe that any food should be put as like bad or good. And I guess I felt like I was being lumped together with the people that were quite extreme versions of kind of eating, and I just didn't want to promote a restrictive diet or be part of that movement. So yeah, I went for a rebrand, and thankfully I was gifted, thank you Dad, with a quite handy name. So then I changed it to just my name, which is obviously Alice Living. And then since then have done a whole load of stuff, like you said. So I actually have an app coming out with Women's Health very, very soon. Actually, I think tomorrow it will land in the app store. So, stay tuned for that. But
and what can we expect from that? Is that some that's a 12-week?
Yeah. So basically, I took the editor, Claire Sanderson, through a 12-week training program, which was for the transformation issue. And it's basically the 12-week transformation training program that we did. But then we have different options. So there's like a kind of beginners and intermediate and advanced, whether you're working out from home or whether you're at a gym. So there's kind of a lot of variety in there for lots of people, so that as many people as possible can get access to it. But yeah, so that's very exciting.
It's not your first workout videos though, is it? Because you've done some of the activewear that you made or designed with Primark. You have actually filmed some videos for that.
Yeah. So I did some stuff with Primark. So early last year I got into conversation with Primark, which was a brand that I massively admire in the sense that they are so accessible and you know anyone can shop there, and I kind of have the same ethos with everything I do, is that like I want fitness to be as accessible as possible. I don't want anyone to feel as though they are intimidated by my content or that they can't, you know, I want anyone to be able to watch my videos and be like, I could do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what exercise to me should be. And I think Primark have the same thing. You know, anyone and everyone can shop there and find something they like. So we collaborated on an activewear line that came out in January. And it sold out like almost everywhere, and it went crazy and people loved it. So yeah, stay tuned for more on that. But it was absolutely amazing. And yeah, so as part of that, I created some fitness content for their online channels and stuff, which was really cool. So yeah, it was fun.
I love the idea actually of you taking Claire, editor of Women's Health, through her paces for her transformation, because the last time I saw Claire was at a particularly great Animal Flow Yoga.
Oh my god.
And Claire
Yoga, I mean, this fitness world,
my favourite line was this buff, amazing man standing at the front of the room and going, be the giraffe, be the gorilla. And he told us all, you know, block out the rest of the room. It doesn't matter what anyone's thinking. It was more an exercise than actually being able to laugh at yourself a bit.
Yeah.
And Claire, who was a very straight-talking, ferociously awesome career lady, was just sat in the middle going, nah.
Yeah. No, she wouldn't have done
it. I am not a giraffe.
No. She wouldn't have had any of it. No. She's funny. Like, she was really easy to train, actually, because she has that mindset. It's like, if she's okay driven with something and she's going to do something, she'll do it 100%.
That's a dream. That
really
is. If
she's not, it's like, nope, not doing it. Nope, not interested. But she is an amazing, amazing client to have, and I still work really closely with her and I adore her. And she's been a real inspiration to me in terms of like her business mentality. Like, she's really gone from strength to strength since going to Women's Health. She's really changed the magazine for the better and had some amazing things that they've done there, you know, because Women's Health is like one of the leading magazines now for in the UK, and they've really kind of been at the forefront of a lot of stuff. So their Strong Mind campaign was something that I was massively in admiration of, that there's a leading magazine talking about mental health and people's mental health struggles, and I think that's an amazing thing. So they're doing incredible things, and with her at the helm, I think it's only going to get better.
It's funny you say that, because actually it's something that we have spoken a lot about, the mental health in everywhere, but specifically with sports people. And we were looking today at Liam McKenzie, who we've had on the show before, and he's actually releasing a documentary called 10 Count. And that's had backing from people like The Rock, and he's met Anthony Joshua through this. And mental health seems to be not only opening doors, but actually really allowing us to tap into something that previously was such a taboo. Mm. And it's really interesting how a big magazine, as you say now, one of the leading women's magazines, mm. not just a leading fitness magazine, mm.
yeah,
but
yeah,
really the
women's
one
aspect,
that we're
yeah.
buying mm. to get behind something like this.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. Like, I think mental health is something that is, you're right, has always been quite a taboo thing up until now. And I think what it's really taken is for big voices and big players within the kind of media industry and within, I guess, the celebrity world to really come forward and say, you know what, it's okay to have these issues and it's okay to talk about them. And if we can only just, you know, take their lead and realize how important it is just to have those conversations. Mm. There's so much stigma attached still to just saying, like, you know, I have depression or I have anxiety and all those things. But for most people, those are really real feelings and really serious conditions. Like, if you look at, like, the rate of suicide, like, even recently looking at Avicii, I mean, the
heartbreaking. Yeah.
Absolutely heartbreaking. Yeah. And I think if we, like, and I try and do my bit, you know, it's a very small voice, but it's a voice nonetheless.
It is not a small voice.
Well, you know, but if
living.
I can do my bit.
well done.
But if I can do my bit by just, you know, amplifying the conversation mm. and trying to get people to just talk and talk about the normality of feeling, you know, those kind of things, the better. And the more people we can get doing that, the better. And I think, actually, I've, like, recently been championing a few podcasts, but Fern Cotton's Happy Place, huge fan, and on there she's had, like, people like Stephen Fry, and this week she had Gok Wan on there, and, you know, he spoke so beautifully about his struggles with anorexia and stuff, and I had no idea that he'd even gone through all of that kind of thing. And I think, yeah, we just need to keep the momentum of the conversation.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's very much normalizing this.
You have
and
to. Yeah.
I think someone like yourself, you've come from, you were, it's not like you grew up as an athlete. Mm. You weren't always coached.
God,
into
I really
this.
Was not sporty.
So that's how I came across you for the first time. I saw an article in the newspaper, and it was, you know, the before and after kind
yeah.
of. And what I was going to ask you was, how do you not therefore become very fixated with how you look now
mm.
and keeping really toned? Or is that just something you've just never really had an issue with?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I'll be totally honest and say, when I started doing what I was doing, I completely had aesthetic goals, and that was mm. my motivation, was to lose weight and to feel better and to look better. But very quickly realised that, like, that's not a tangible thing. Like, once you get to a certain way of looking, it's like, okay, well, what now? Like, yeah. you know, what do I do? And at that point, that's when I started to educate myself on my training, because I was really interested in how I'd managed to get to where I was. But to be quite honest, I didn't really have a clue when I got to where I did physique-wise, mm. and I wanted to understand actually how I did it. So then I started looking into personal training courses, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll get my qualification. And I think getting my qualification and actually educating myself on training was the best thing I ever did, because very early on I realised that aesthetic goals are pretty redundant when it comes to, you know, actually wanting to move well for life. I gained a lot more respect for my body. Mm. I took far more interest in things like performance-based goals, just physical health in general. So when I started training with clients, it was like, it wasn't about getting them to lose weight or to look better. It was about, can they do a squat with X amount of weight? Can they do a deadlift? Are they able to move well? Are they mobile? Have they got good, you know, posture and things like that? And suddenly, by focusing away from aesthetics and actually looking at performance and physical health and really focusing on actually how people are feeling more than anything, took my mind to a different place in terms of how I view exercise. Mm. And then it hasn't really looked back ever since. And now, even with my own training, like, I have very specific goals, but none of them are a number on a scale or like a you know, a way I look. It's like, okay, well, for the next 6 weeks I'm going to focus on overhead work, and I'm going to do like presses and pulls, and I'm going to work on my pull-ups. And so it's like, it's always got a very much a gym-based goal, and I find that's my motivation, and that brings my mind to a place of like not looking in the mirror and being like, oh god, like yeah. I need to look like this. It's actually like, oh my god, my body can do this, this and this, and I feel amazing as a result of that.
Yeah. So what about longevity with
Yeah, for sure.
One of the things that you have famously said is that abs are made in the kitchen.
Did I say that?
You have said it several times to me.
Boom. Oh,
have I?
Was it not you? Was that not you at top of my time?
I don't know if I did.
Abs are made in the kitchen. But your foundations all came from food.
Yeah.
What do you think of the whole vegan, is it a fad? Is it a trend? Is it good? Is it good for you?
Me, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, hands up and say that I eat everything. I don't cut out meat, and I have a very kind of like inclusive diet, I guess, in that I don't really cut anything out.
Hurrah! That's good to hear.
But don't get me wrong, I think veganism is definitely having its heyday, and I think, you know, there are so many reasons why that's a great thing. Mm. If your motivation is an environmental one, then I totally respect that. That is something that I will, you know, praise, because I think, you know, a lot of people are doing it for that reason. I think there's a lot of stuff to suggest that can be better for the environment. I'm not saying that all vegans are therefore saving the environment, because there are, you know, things like, if you look at how avocados and quinoa and stuff are farmed and stuff, it's not actually much better than meat. What I would say though is that what I take issue with is when people put veganism on a pedestal as a healthier diet than eating meat. You can be a vegan and be really, really unhealthy, just as you can be a meat eater and be really, really unhealthy. It's a hard one. I think that you can look, I just think there's so many different ways of eating, and no way of eating is going to be right for one, tongue tied how I eat, for example, is not going to be how you should eat, because we're all so different and different things work for different people. And I think the most important thing is that yes, veganism can be a great way of eating, and if that's and like I said, if you have your reasons for doing it, and you do your research and you make sure that you're not missing out any nutrients, that you're not becoming deficient in anything, then that can be a really healthy diet.
Well, exactly. And actually, it was something we were talking about last week, is this whole trend for supplementing, and actually how it can be a little bit dangerous if we're using supplements as too much of a crutch, and therefore moving away from a traditionally healthy diet, from the things that perhaps we'll be missing.
And especially
with our children, there have been stories saying that
school children are being
given protein.
I mean, the thing is that I always come back to kind of like my view of the healthy pyramid, and at the bottom you have a big block, which is your nutrition, and your diet should always be, you know, proteins, fats, carbohydrates. You should have whole grains in there. You should always be filling every plate with loads of vegetables, and it should always be from real food. Up above that you have your exercise, so I want people to be moving, and it doesn't have to be in the gym, but it just has to be some form of movement every day so that they're keeping active and keeping mobile. Above that, then you have like your mental health, because I think, and like sleep and recovery and all those kind of the more holistic side of things. So yeah, looking at all of those things. At the very, very top of the pyramid is supplementation. Don't get me wrong, like it might have a place. For example, vitamin D supplementation in winter.
Oh,
it is something that's been shown to be important
in
especially
England.
In a lot of people who have difficulty in, even if we do get access to sunlight, a lot of people then struggle to absorb vitamin D. So I do think that there's a place for supplementation, but I agree, it's handed out as almost like it's handed out far too liberally, and we should always come back to looking at our diet first, our exercise, our lifestyle habits in general, before we go to supplementation, which should always be the last port of call.
And of course, there are so many interesting and exciting ways to cook now, and all these different ingredients. And I mean, your cookbooks outsold the likes of Jamie Oliver and Nigella Lawson. And
don't, I'm not going to say
that. Must feel incredible, though. That must feel.
I'm going to blush.
I mean, what an achievement.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It is amazing. And I feel so fortunate to be in the position that I am. And, you know, like, for example, being in this position, there comes a huge amount of responsibility. So it's about continuing to educate myself and using that as my motivation to then educate myself and impart that education on my audience, so that I'm not just like some Instagram fitspo who just, you know, happen to get a load of followers.
I love those people. Love them. They're my favourite.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah. FitFam. Right, I believe we've got to say our farewells to you.
I know.
But Alice, thank you so much for joining us.
It was my absolute pleasure. It was so lovely to see you guys.
Thank you, Alice. I feel very inspired.
I do.
Be a healthier me.
Good.
Inside out.
That's all it takes. Alice Living, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are going to take a little breather. Back in a moment.
FUBAR Radio presents.
I am joined by the amazing Jessica Kellgren Fozard.
I know my monetary value in hotels because my ex was told to stop dating me, and in order to do that, she would get a hotel.
Because you were lesbians?
Yes. So they said, if you stop dating that girl, We'll give you a hotel.
We'll give you a hotel. Like, here's a hotel forever. Oh my God. Because she chose you, right? She didn't choose the hotel.
No, she's my ex.
Wait, so she chose the hotel? What a monster.
Every Wednesday. Come on, let's swing it. From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Do you know the thing I really liked about Alice? You could tell how knowledgeable she is.
And passionate.
Yes. And that, to me, makes me want to listen to someone like that, absorb what she's saying. You know?
I think you're quite right.
Not patronising.
There are so many people out there who've cashed in on the influencer marketing and are creating a following of people who is slightly vacuous, and they've got this great body, but they're doing it for aesthetic reasons. Mm. And you
or
can
patronise.
It's not happy from the inside. It's not healthy from the inside. Whereas Alice, I think, has come from the other way, and she's become successful and then sort of almost gone backwards and been like, oh, hang on, don't trust me because I've said it. I'm going to prove that I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So she's gone and got qualifications. I mean,
kudos. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in. We've got a couple more bits of fitness news to round up with before we finish the show, because time has run away with us.
We've literally got 5 minutes.
Once again, six, actually. I think, strictly.
59.
Five and a half. Oh, four.
Yeah.
Okay, well, very quickly.
Sorry, people.
Ewan Thomas, who we are very excited to have coming on the show, hopefully in the next few weeks, and thousands of other people have run the final 3.7 miles of the London Marathon course in memory of Matt Campbell. Now, it's such a sad story. However, there has been a slight backlash because Matt had a little bit of a following because he'd been on MasterChef. People have now said it's a little bit unfair that people are running just for him. What about all the others?
Yeah, very true. Why? But again, we are the generation of, you know, the celebrity of the, it's what makes people, oh, read this article. It's somebody from, oh, I know that program.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's, unfortunately, I think, what we've become as a nation.
But how heartbreaking for a runner to, especially Ewan Thomas, who himself was going to be running the marathon a couple of weekends ago on Sunday, but actually pulled out quite close to the marathon. To actually go through that last 3.7 miles in memory of someone who
didn't make it. It's quite beautiful.
It's a really lovely
A
tribute.
Yes.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who took part in that. In other fitness news, a new study has shown that children are as fit as endurance athletes. And this has come about because scientists had started to note that children are so constantly active, constantly moving, throwing themselves into positions, and almost accidentally training. Which is really funny because you look at endurance athletes and it is so much harder once you become an adult to fit running around and going.
Do you think that's what it is? It's the fact that we are so busy. We can't get
that in. We are sedentary.
Yeah. And again, our jobs are during the day. A lot of people, 9 to 5, you sit down. At school, we had a couple of hours PE, then,
so excited.
After school.
You would never say, no, soz, Barry. I'm not going to go on the playground swings with you today because I'm a little bit tired. I think I'm going to go and
soz
sit
Baz.
Inside.
Soz, Baz.
Although I suppose maybe the generation below us might be more akin to the Wii or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, and it rather play on Instagram and things like that.
Well, that's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But very young children, I think, do still have that real mobility. And we had a guest a few weeks ago who famously told us that he owns a squatty potty so that he can squat on the loo because that's what we're designed to do.
But it's true. When you see how flexible youngsters are, and you look at even, like, you know, toddlers, just how flexible they are and we have lost that. But, if you get a child and an endurance athlete next to each other, I know where I put my money, but I know what they're saying in the article.
I think it's the principle.
Yeah. I put my money on the child. Sorry, endurance
Rachel,
athlete.
You're dead inside. You would never have done that.
No, I really wouldn't.
Nah,
it's true. Not going to lie.
You've got a little bit of fitness news.
Yep. There have been an article. So, you need strong arms to play, not smooth arms. Cricket star attacks beauty ads featuring female athletes, saying linking sporting success with prettiness promotes body shaming. Ex-Pakistani cricketer Sunny Mir posted a passionate criticism of beauty companies approaching female sporting stars to endorse products. it's true. It's very, and you notice as well that with the female athletes that are being pictured in, you know, like these deodorant ads, they don't really have their muscle mass. They're all very.
But hang on,
trim.
Men have been doing this for years. Look at Gillette. Look at Wilkinson Swords.
They're still buff. They're still, you know, it's. But I don't think we show that as much in ads. We don't show, you know, we don't kind of celebrate. The female,
you know, I think there's a massive propensity to fall back on the girl's prettiness, and I see where they're coming from because I remember just after Jessica Ennis had her Olympic success,
she
in
was one of the people featured
London,
she's talking about.
She came into I was styling at Marie Claire at the time, and she was our cover girl, and she'd been doing the rounds of photo shoots and press, and everybody had put her in some awful prommy dress that, frankly, made her look out of shape because it covered up all her beautiful muscles, and just you got this outline. And so I do sympathize, I see where she's coming from, but I still think that it's a great affiliation for sports people to be with something a bit more aesthetic.
Annoyingly, we've run out of time.
We have
We'll add more for next week. Do not not be here. That was my sentence. I'll be Rachel Downey, Olivia Cox. We shall see you next Tuesday 4 till 5 on Pitch Talk. See you soon. Bye.
This past hour, you've been listening to Pitch Talk with Rachel Downey and Olivia Cotts. To listen again, simply go to foobarradio.com or our app where this episode and all past episodes are free to stream or download. Send all questions, comments or queries to pitch@foobarradio.com or tweet at foobarradio. Foobar Radio.